The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, part two of our All-Star Extravaganza. One of the best players I've ever seen is here, George Brett. How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself? A little tired?
I'm a little tired right now. Well, you had a grueling day. You were involved in the USA Futures game. And then you're in the Celeb Softball game.
Back to back. Well, I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning doing charitable work, going all over town with Major League Baseball. And David Glass, the owner of the Kansas City Royals, going to places and donating money that's being raised here because of the All-Star game being in Kansas City. And I've been doing it for about 2 or 3 days now, you know, leaving the house at 6, 6.30 in the morning, or 7 in the morning, getting home at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock
at night.
Are
you based here?
I live here.
So you never left?
Never left. Married a gal from here.
But you got married late, which I always appreciate.
Got married 39.
Yeah.
And retired at 40. Had my first child at 40.
Right.
And
you did it right.
Then had another child at 41. Then had another child at 42. Then got a TV, put it in the master bedroom, and haven't had a child since. But it's a great place to raise a family. Those people that, and that's part of the fun thing that I'm doing for Major League Baseball, is people are coming to Kansas City for the first time.
Yep.
People are coming to the stadium for the first time. It's my job to show it off. And that's why
you're the KC ambassador.
Ambassador to the All-Star game. You know, back when I played in All-Star games, they didn't have this. You'd fly in Sunday after your game, wherever you were. Say we had a game in Milwaukee, and the All-Star game was in New York. You'd jump on a plane, fly to New York. Commercial, of course, before NetJets and flight options and all those things. And you'd have practice Monday. Tuesday, you had a luncheon with the commissioner, and you could take a bus to the stadium, play the game, and leave. This is a 5-day event. They're going to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars for charity all over Kansas City and for good causes. They had a race the other day. Not a race, 5K.
Yeah.
1 mile walk, 5K race. They had one of those in Kansas City. It was yesterday. And over 8,000 people ran in it. And the proceeds went to cancer. And I mean, what an event. And the MasterCard's come up with this deal. If they use your card starting tomorrow, and I think it goes to August 28th or September 28th, every time you use your MasterCard, guess what? They donate money to for a bill at a restaurant for more than $10 or something. They donate money up to $4 million they're going to raise. So, and you know, MasterCard's been a sponsor of baseball forever. But it's been fun with the commissioner of baseball, I was with him this morning, and the Glass family going around town, and you know, they think long and hard about who they want to give the money to, and it's made me have a better outlook of what Major League Baseball does besides just put on baseball games.
We always hear in sports about guys chasing a ring, like LeBron signs with Miami, he's chasing a ring. Nash just left Phoenix to go to the Lakers.
The Lakers.
I mean, and that family had a lot to do with it, but it seems rare and rare when guys play their entire career with a team and they stay there. If you look back, like you won a ring, obviously, but did you ever think about maybe last few years going somewhere else? Like, could you even imagine doing that?
Well, I came up in 1973, and we were a new team. The Royals were founded in 1969.
Right.
So the farm system wasn't that good. Obviously, I signed in 71 out of high school. In 73, I was in the big leagues. I never had 300 of the minors. So all of a sudden, I make the major leagues, and I come up to stay in 74. 75, Oakland was the world champion, the Oakland A's.
Yep.
In 75, we gave them a pretty good run. 76, we beat them. And I think after the 76 season, when I won my first batting championship, Ewing Kauffman gave me a 5-year contract.
Right.
3 or 4 years go by. He gives me another 5-year contract. 3 or 4 years go by, or 4 or 5 years go by, I still have 2 years left. he gives me another 5-year contract. So there was really no place for me to go. I was always under contract.
So he took care of you.
But
the whole
from
time.
75, from 75, we got competitive.
Yeah.
We're in the playoffs. 7 out of the next 10 years, we're in the playoffs. Where was I going to go chase a ring?
Good point.
I'm staying here. This is a fantastic franchise. After the 85 season, we still had good teams. It's just that people got a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then I retired in 93, but I ended up playing 20 years in Kansas City. But, you know, I thought by now this organization, and especially in the era when I played from 76 to maybe 1990, that, you know, we had the capability of maybe winning 3 or 4 World Series. And no other team did that back then.
One of my favorite ESPN Classic games was like 1976. Game 5, it's like the rubber match against the Yankees. I think it's the one that Chambliss ends with the home run. In that game, you get in a fight with Greg Nettles.
No, different game, different year.
What year am I thinking
of? That was a different year. You're thinking 1977. When Chambliss hit the home run.
That was 76.
That was 76. 77, we're playing in the final fifth inning of the game here. And
rubber match.
Yeah.
All right,
each team had won 2.
All right, so I got my ears mixed up. But you get in a fight with Nettles.
Shame, shame, shame.
You get in a fight with Nettles. You both stayed in the game.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Neither of us got fined. Nothing. You do that now, you're suspended for a week.
And it would have been shown on SportsCenter for 5 straight weeks.
Yeah.
And then everybody would have been, George Brett got kicked out of the deciding game. What an idiot that guy.
Right, yeah.
And this is like, you guys fought, and then you're standing next to each other at third base 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
I thought that was insane.
It was crazy. You know, we had a rivalry, and I know you're from Boston.
Yes.
And a diehard Red Sox fan, probably a diehard Patriot fan, probably a diehard Bruin fan.
All the teams.
Celtic fan.
Yes.
Probably don't like the Knicks, don't like the
I hate
Yankees.
The Lakers, all the New York teams.
Yeah, and probably Los Angeles, the Lakers especially.
Yes.
You know, they don't have a football team. You can't hate them.
No.
You're right. But, you know, we had a pretty good rivalry with the Yankees back in the – it started in 75, 76. All of a sudden, 77,
they were the hump you couldn't get over.
Yeah, and then 78, we played them again in the playoffs and lost to them. But that started a pretty good rivalry, and we played against them hard. You know, they were the big city, and we were, you know, Kansas City, and everybody thought, you know, you'd walk down the street and see the Rifleman and Mark there, you know, or James Arness, you know, riding their horse down the street. But it became a pretty heated rivalry, and I hit a triple my first at-bat off Guidry, slid into third base and slid in pretty hard. It was a bang-bang play, kind of came up and tried to knock the ball out of his glove and pushed him off the bag a little bit. The umpire called me safe, and he steps back, and just as I'm kind of still got my hands on the ground and from falling forward, he reaches up and kicks me right in the jaw, right in the chin. And I go, what the hell is that? And then I just got up and just threw a haymaker. And
that was it?
Yeah, and that was it. They fall to the ground.
Cleared.
Everybody jumps on top.
I forget which bench was next to the...
They had the Yankee bench, so I was really
close. Yeah, so you got mauled.
Yeah, I was on the bottom of the pile. And
that's
Thurman
not the pile
Munson. Thurman Munson was one of the first guys there. And
give a couple sneaky
ones? No, because he covered me up. He got on top of me, and I remember hearing him say, don't worry, no one's going to take any cheap shots at you. So, you know, my heart went out to Thurman right there.
Wow.
There were some guys taking some cheap shots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were some guys taking some cheap shots, but he tried to stop it.
Did you ever charge the mound?
Not against them. I charged the mound off Milt Wilcox.
Milt Wilcox?
Pitcher for Detroit.
You went right at him?
1980, I was hitting 400 or close to 400 and hit a 3-run home run off of my first at bat. And the next at bat, you know, one goes behind my head, I go, I probably had it coming, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Next at bat, hit a foul ball home run off him in the upper deck in Detroit.
Yeah.
Next pitch again, right behind my head. I'm going, okay, 1's enough, 2's too many. Start screaming at him. Lance Parrish is the catcher. You remember how big Lance was?
Huge.
You remember the year he wore the orange shin guards and the orange chest protector? And he looked like a big pumpkin back
right
there. And he gets out there, and he just stands there and goes like this to me. In between me and the pitcher. He's just standing there. And I'm sitting there going,
right,
yelling at Wilcox. I ended up the next pitch flying out to deep center, rounded first base. I said something to him. He said something back. I just charged the mound right from. Instead of running back to the first base dugout, ran right at him.
Did you go for the throwing punch?
I was punching. I wasn't tackling, you know.
So some people go low.
I was running full speed. I took off my helmet. Stupid mistake number one. Why you take off your helmet in a fight?
Keep the helmet on.
Leave the frickin' helmet on.
Right.
You know? And just as I'm getting ready to hit him, Greg Kosk, a big umpire, grabs me from behind. And so now all of a sudden I'm like this, and he's winding up to hit me. And the next thing you know, we kind of fall, you know, we grab each other. And I remember getting him on the ground. And by then, all the players are on top of you. I got to put my water down. So I'm sitting there, and we're this far away from the ground, and I got my hand here, and his head's here, and I'm hitting him like this. I'm trying to get back and just smoke him, you know, because I was on top of him. I'm hitting him like this. Because I couldn't get my hand back any farther. That's the one time I charged the mound. But we've gotten numerous fights, but charging the mound, gotten fights at second base, breaking up double plays and stuff like that. But
what was the best brawl you ever saw?
Best one I was ever involved in was Texas Rangers back in 1977, I believe it was.
Oh, the glory years of baseball fights.
Yeah.
Mid-70s.
It lasted about 24 minutes. There were fights all over the field. The police broke it up. Police had to come break it up.
Really?
We had policemen on the field breaking it up. And I got the raw end of that deal, too. I got Willie Horton. Bad draw.
Oh, no. He was gigantic.
Bad draw. Pounded me right into the ground. I got up. I had grass in my mouth. I had grass inside my mouth.
You're one of the best guys in the team. Like, at that point, doesn't somebody come over to help? Oh, no, George. They got George.
Well, it was real short.
Yeah.
That was a short one.
Man, Willie Horton. That's terrible. You mentioned hitting 400 that year almost. I think you finished at 390.
Yeah.
You know, you think, like, the way sports is digested now, 24/7, internet, sports center, all that stuff, like, the amount of attention that you got in 1980, which seemed like a ton of attention, it would almost seem like it would even be more now. Can anyone?
Oh, God.
I know everyone asks you this, but do you think, can anyone ever do that?
No.
I feel like no.
I don't think so. I think there's like you said, when I went over 400, there were 6 weeks to go in the season. Media comes up to me. The next day we're in Texas. And this is when live eyes were getting real big. Oh, we're going to break live to the ballpark at 6:12. We're going to do an interview with George Brett.
Yeah.
You know. So they come up and they said, one station says, can you do an interview at 6:12? Another one, can you do our sports at 6:15? Can you do our sports at 6:30?
And you're trying to get ready
and
for
I'm
the
game. And I'm taking
BP. Yeah.
That's when I hit. I said, I can. I'm in that group.
Yeah.
Well, can we tape something then after you hit? And then these guys want to tape something.
And Sports Illustrated says, hey, George, we need to spend a couple days with you.
Right. So what our PR director did, and he talked to Bob Fischel, who used to be the PR director for the Yankees back in 1961. And Bob was in the American League office back then. Back then, it was an American League, National League office, different presidents and stuff. Now baseball's kind of united, you know, in that aspect. But he talked to Bob Fischel, and Bob said, the one thing I should have done to Roger Maris was in 1961 is to control the interviews because it just drove him crazy. So from that point on, after that night, I had a half-hour press conference before every game and a half-hour press conference after every game.
Smart.
So you didn't have to answer the same questions from five different guys, and it made it easier. But today, with all the social media, and this is 1980.
Right.
And we're talking 61 and 61, and I'm talking 1980. So how many years was that? 29? 19?
32.
Huh?
What?
61
oh,
to 80.
61, 19.
So that's 19 years.
Yep.
It was more than that, wasn't it?
61 to 80 is 19.
Yeah, okay, 19 years. Now it's 1980 to 2012, 32 years, right?
Right.
That's 32 years. Just think how much more media there is now than there was back in 1980.
Five times as much.
Yeah.
Ten times as much.
And so just to try to accommodate the media, and obviously the more you talk about something, the more you want to do it, and that's what happened to me. I talked about it for 6 weeks, or for 4 weeks. I was still over it with 2 weeks to go in the season, and after talking about this damn number all the time, which I never set out to hit 400 at the start of the season.
But you're thinking about it.
But now I've talked about it and talked about it for a month. I got 2 weeks to go. All of a sudden I go, shoot, this is pretty important. I got to do this. Then I went out and tried to hit 400.
And that's...
You can't try to hit 400.
The other thing, the sneaky thing about that season was you got hurt and missed some time.
Yeah,
which
that made it
easier.
It made it easier. I played 117 games.
Right.
And had 118 RBIs. I mean, I was having the year of my life, had more RBIs than games
that's
played.
That's how,
that year.
If it ever happens, I feel like
that's
how
somebody's going to have to play.
110 and 115 games.
Well, maybe 125,
season.
Maybe 130.
Yeah. You'd have to miss 40 games. Though.
Yeah, you'd have to miss 30 games.
Yeah.
Obviously, the more games you miss, the easier it's going to be.
Yes.
The more games you play, the harder it's going to be. So
right.
If you could play 140 games, maybe miss 20 with a 4 or 5 day injury here, 4 or 5 day injury there. It was hard for me because I missed 6 weeks. I missed 6 weeks.
Do you realize you were the
knee.
You were the first great fantasy player?
No.
No, I bet nobody.
I don't
ever
know
said
how.
That
I don't know how fantasy works. I
so
don't know.
So fantasy
how that stuff
started
works.
Basically 1979, 1980 was when it took off.
Mm-hmm.
you became like the big guy because the 1980 was your big season.
Right.
So the next year, 1981, was really the year that everybody started playing.
Hmm.
You were the number one pick. So you could take that to your grave.
Yeah.
You were the first great fantasy baseball player.
Well, that's good
because,
to know.
Yeah, because it hadn't started before then. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the 85 World Series.
Yeah.
So, like, last night's celebrity softball game, Ozzie Smith's out there.
Sure.
Hey, Ozzie. Good to see you again. Like, how much does that stuff carry over?
No, it doesn't.
I've
played golf with Ozzie. We've been to Augusta, Georgia together. We've been places together. I see him at the Hall of Fame every year. It would be a little different if it's the first time I've seen him since 85, but we run into each other at baseball events, Hall of Fame events.
So 1985,
two or three, four times a year.
We don't even
talk about it. We really don't.
Because he won a couple years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he did anyway, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Whitey
Herzog.
It's hard to keep track of all these things.
That's your job.
I know. I'm trying to think now.
I thought you were pretty good you knew the Lakers.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Was that a team that you considered a rival back in the day or not really?
No, not really. I wanted to be a Red Sox growing up.
Really?
That's one of the teams. A Red Sox, a Dodger, or a Giant. In all honesty, growing up in L.A., my brother Ken was drafted number one by the Red Sox in 1966. Pitched in the World Series in 67, youngest pitcher ever to pitch in a World Series game to this day. And Joe Stevenson, a scout that signed him, tried to talk the Red Sox into drafting me in the first round. I was a second-round pick in 1971.
I don't think
and
I knew
the
this.
Red Sox, were seriously thinking on drafting me, but they thought I'd be around by the time they picked in the second round. And so they took a guy named Jim Rice instead. What a bad decision that was.
Wow.
No.
What a great what if that is.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Or maybe I knew that and I forgot it. But
yeah, they took Jim Rice and before the draft they called up and they said, now, if we draft you, you are going to sign, right? And I said, yeah, I'm going to sign.
Wasn't your bro like one of the great
hitting pitchers of all time? And he threw really hard.
But he means one of those guys coming in, like they almost didn't know, like he could be a Hall of Famer as a hitter, or a Hall of Famer as a pitcher.
He was better hitter than he was.
What to do.
Supposedly, the Red Sox were the only team that was going to draft him. He was the fourth player taken in the draft.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson was the second, I think, and somebody, I forget who else was up there. But he was the fourth player taken. Every other team was going to take him as a center fielder. The Red Sox were going to take him as a left-handed hitter.
So if he had been a center fielder, how do you think that's different?
He would have. He could have been. I mean, he ended up playing 12 years in the major leagues, but... You know, as a pitcher in the National League, he owns records. Did you know
the hitting records?
He started five games in a row and hit five home runs. So he pitched on Monday, hit a home run, started Saturday, hit a home run, started Thursday, hit a home run, started Tuesday, hit a home run, and started Sunday, hit a home run. Five games in a row.
Did you have any other siblings?
I had two other brothers. Both played professional baseball. None of them made it to the major leagues. So there was four boys
so you
in
had
the family.
Genes.
Yeah. Four boys in the family. I was the youngest, and all three of my older brothers played professional baseball. Albeit two only played 1 year.
Yeah,
but got released.
Last question, then you got to go.
Okay.
KC always seems like the team is in this
rebuilding.
Well, and then it's like this is going to be the year. They have these guys. They're Alex Gordon now, and then that doesn't.
Stock is Hosmer. Yeah.
This year it's Hosmer, and it's like, hey, Hosmer, everybody loves it. Then he starts off like. What is it? Why is it just like a series of unrelated bad luck events?
No, that's not bad luck. But we got some talent. We really got some talent. Got a catcher, Salvador Perez. So this guy's going to be an all-star. Hosmer should be an all-star someday. Mustakas going to be an all-star. The shortstop right now is leading all shortstops in baseball in batting average.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a great defensive fielder. What would happen to your Red Sox? What would happen to the Yankees? What would happen to the Texas Rangers? Okay. If three of their starting pitchers are out for the season with Tommy John surgery,
right.
Their closer's out for the season with Tommy John surgery, their star catcher is out the first two and a half months with knee surgery, what would happen to those teams? Would they be where they are right now?
And then your linchpin first baseman starts out slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's a lock as a great player? Tell me a team that would be in good shape right now.
Do you worry, though, that there's this mentality of, oh, this guy's going to be the savior. You're putting so much pressure on some of these guys. Because it happened with Gordon.
Gordon was the first guy.
Yep.
And then it was Hosmer. And then it's Moustakas. Next, it's Will Myers.
Right.
And I think
everybody's become the new guy.
He's the new guy.
You say, oh, this guy.
Jake
this guy
Odorizzi. Comes up, you know, we have both starters yesterday in the Futures game.
Yep.
Starter for the world team who comes out, first pitch, 98 miles an hour for strike. Next pitch, 100 miles an hour for strike. Wow. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
19, 20-year-old kid throwing strikes like that in front of 40,000 people. You know, not bad. Not bad. So there's some talent down there. And I think sometimes you build up all these guys because up here at this level, we're not doing very good.
Right.
So let's let everybody know about these guys down in the minors. And so they get all excited to see them. And then we, okay, here they are. They've arrived. And everybody's so excited all of a sudden, it might be a little too much for them at first.
You said you never wanted to manage, right?
No. I did yesterday. I had a blast doing that. I wish they'd name me manager
Travel?
Of the Futures game.
Because you love your family?
No, like, I don't want to go 81 days on the road. I don't want to jump on planes at 11 o'clock or 12 or really 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to do that anymore. I did it for 20 years.
Deal with 20-year-old guys.
I like playing golf. I like taking vacations. I like going to the ranch. I like fishing. You know, I like doing that stuff. I like going to Europe once in a while.
I think you would have been a good manager, though.
I don't know. It would have been fun, I think, if my heart was in it. And who knows, I got one kid left in high school. He's going to be a junior next year. Who knows what happens if when he leaves, all of a sudden, now there's really a void. I got three kids in college. You know, who knows what's going to happen. But as of right now, I don't want to do it.
You'll just start playing 36 holes of golf every day instead of 18. That'll be the fill of the void.
I like the way you think.
George Brett, thank you very much.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me
all
on.
Right, good luck this week.
Love your
all
show.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, we are welcoming in one of the National League All-Stars from the LA Dodgers. An L.A. resident like myself. Matt Kemp, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
You're from Oklahoma.
Yes.
You played basketball in high school with Sheldon Williams, former Celtic. But how come you haven't positioned yourself as the Oklahoma City basketball? Like, you could be right in. They don't have any celebrity fans. You should have jumped on this. You should have been courtside at the finals. You should have been skipping Dodgers games.
No, I definitely couldn't do that, man. I wish I could be at the finals if the Lakers would have.
Are you friends with those guys?
Yeah, I'm pretty well. I'm friends with a lot of the Oklahoma City guys, Westbrook and Durant and those guys. I don't know too many of the Miami Heat guys, but that was enjoyable to watch that.
But you were rooting for them, right?
I was rooting for Oklahoma City. I want Oklahoma City to win. Being from Oklahoma or Midwest City, which is right close to Oklahoma, you know, city. It was good to see those guys, and it was good for the state of Oklahoma as well.
I went to a couple of the games
in
Oklahoma City.
Pretty exciting.
They were overwhelmed. I mean, the fans were there, I think, 35 minutes before the game.
I think it was longer
than
that.
They were all in there, all in their seats, standing and cheering and doing the whole thing.
That crowd in Oklahoma. I never thought that the fans in Oklahoma would be that electrifying as far as like having a basketball team. I mean, they sell out every game. They're camping out to get tickets, and they got blue shirt. Everybody has blue shirts on, and it was exciting to see that, you know, Oklahoma shows that much love for a basketball team.
They were showed. I think they were there 2 hours before because they wouldn't even let anyone in until like an hour before. So they're all just lined up outside 2 hours before. Yeah. It was like 90 degrees.
Unbelievable.
And they were just,
going back home, you know, during Christmas and stuff, I get to catch some of the games and talk to the guys, and they're like, this is a great place to play. The fans are unbelievable, and you know, I wouldn't want to play anywhere else. So.
Yeah, are you surprised that? Because normally you'd think, like, all the NBA players are always trying to get to big cities.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to get to L.A. or Miami or New York. And it seems like those guys actually like playing
there. Well, I think Oklahoma is a little bit more laid back. You know, there's not a lot to do out there. So, I mean, all you can really do is focus on basketball. And I think a lot of those guys are family men. So it's a great place to raise a family and to just kind of be yourself and do what you do
and
what you want to do.
They play video games.
Yeah,
and
I mean they're all younger guys too. I mean, you know, Westbrook is from LA, so he's been in big cities and he knows how it is. So you know, it's good for a change sometimes.
What do you think about playing in a big city? Small city.
I love it. So yeah. I mean, I went from small city to big city. At first, it was a little bit overwhelming, but I mean, LA is amazing. I love it.
What was overwhelming about it?
Just the people, the scenery, just traffic, everything. There's just a lot going on. I'm used to being in Oklahoma. If something's 10 minutes away, it's 10 minutes away.
It's exactly 10 minutes.
In LA, if it's 10 minutes away, it's going to be 30. You're not going to get there for 30 minutes.
True.
So, you know, that's something I had to get used to, and, you know, being away from my family. And, you know, I mean, LA is different, but it's a place that I've learned to love.
I would imagine for you it's good because in LA there's so many celebrities that you know, that there's like a whole code in LA that doesn't exist. Like if you're eating dinner and somebody faint, like Jay-Z's at the next table, you don't go up to the table and just stare there, hey, I'm a big fan. Yeah. Like, in LA they don't do that. There's a coolness factor to it.
It's funny because I mean, if you see celebrities walking around, most of the time everybody's just like, hey, what's up? And they just keep going. Like if you're in Oklahoma and you see Jay-Z walking down the street, everybody's going to, you know, go tackle him and try to get his autograph and things like that. But in L.A., it's so regular. You see actors and actresses and you know, just any celebrity, basketball, baseball, and people just kind of say what's up and ask for an autograph and just keep on going.
Do you go to Laker games, Clipper games?
As much as I can. I try as much as I can. I usually in the offseason, I've been in Arizona, so I didn't get to catch too many Laker games. But when they come to Arizona, I get to catch most of them.
Do you still play?
Nah, even if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Oh yeah, it's against your contract, right?
Yeah.
What were you, like a perimeter guy or like
I did
what
it
was
all.
Your game?
I mean, I was strong.
I want to hear what you get. What NBA player were you like?
Man, I was a slasher. I was a little
slasher.
I was slash. I probably could be like a little D Wade, you know?
D Wade. You went D-Wade high
junior.
With that.
Yeah. But he could jump a little bit higher than
me. So you were a guard.
Yeah, I was a guard, shooting
but
guard.
But with 3-point range.
Yes, I had range. Called me sharpshooter in high school.
And your high school team won the title?
Yeah, we won a couple times.
We won a couple times?
We were pretty good.
Could you have played in college?
Yeah, I definitely could have played in college.
Were you recruited?
A little bit, not much.
Not much?
I mean, I think the thing about it was that the college coaches thought I was going to go play baseball. And it kind of was like, you know, we'll try. But the thing about it is I wanted to go to college and I wanted to play baseball and basketball at the same time. So a lot of schools just wanted me to just play basketball and then a lot of schools just wanted me to play baseball. So they didn't want to let me play both.
So what'd you end up doing? I forget.
I play Major League Baseball now. So
no, I mean, did you go right to baseball?
Yeah.
You didn't go to college?
No, I didn't go to college. Yeah. Straight to
what college would you have gone to?
I don't know. I didn't decide yet. It was still up in the air. You know?
So it worked out for you, I think.
It did work out. I'm glad I did pick baseball.
Although it would have been interesting to see you play two sports in college.
I would have loved it. It probably would have been hard to try to do schoolwork and balance basketball and baseball and all that, but I definitely would have probably got it done, hopefully.
Tell me about what your life's been like the last 2 years with this team, because the ownership situation, and I know it became a national story to some degree, but living in L.A., I mean, it was just such a dominant story with the owners.
Yeah, you know,
what was going on.
The fans were a little disappointed the last couple of years. You know, we didn't play as well as we could have. The previous 2 years before that, we had got to the NLCS 2 years in a row.
Right.
And, you know, almost made it to the World Series. But, you know, the next 2 years, we had losing seasons, and we didn't quite do too well. You know, the fans were a little disappointed with what was going on, but, you know, we kept pushing, you know, and, you know, now we're in a position right now to, you know, we're in first place at the half and, you know, we're doing big things and the fans are embracing the new owners and we're having a great time.
What were people saying to you? Like you're eating breakfast somewhere and were people being like, hey man, what's going on at the Dodgers? Like, what was the kind of stuff?
You know, you get a lot of that. You know, you have fans saying a lot of crazy things, but, you know, it's something that, as far as me being a player, I can't really concentrate on that. Me, I have to go out there on the field and try to help us win games. I can't concentrate on what's going on off
the field. Do you feel like it affected the team, though? Because
not
it was
at
such
all.
A constant thing?
Not at
people,
all.
They don't care?
Not at all. We didn't care. Like, I mean, the first half of last year, you know, we didn't play too good. And then the second half, we were one of the best teams in baseball. And, you know, we kind of just, we kept working hard and kept pushing through. And, you know, now we're in this position right now.
What changed for you last year when you ascended?
For me, I think it's just being more of a student of the game, studying a little bit more. As much as I did study, I think I needed to study a little bit more and just pay a little bit more attention to what was going on as far as, you know, when pitchers were doing certain things in certain situations, when this was happening, kind of try to, it's like a chess game. You got to think about the next move and what that person's going to do. And, you know, I had to kind of figure out how to do that. And I had some good people in my corner helping me with that
Do you study like the stats and stuff?
No, not stats. I don't really too much worry about that. You know, video on pitchers. And
oh, yeah, tendencies, you know, in the video.
Tendencies
like
in the video, like what do you do at this point? What does he do at that point? What does he do whenever he's throwing the home so I can steal this base easier without guessing? So, I mean, there's a lot of tricks to that. And, you know, I could really thank Davey Lopes for showing me that, you know, the little tricks on how to be better as a base stealer and you know, studying a little bit more.
And what about, like, do you scout yourself?
Oh, all the time.
What am I doing?
No, well, for sure.
Why did that work?
Yeah, no, I like, when I do good on the field, I go back and look at the video and kind of see what it is that I was doing good, so it can stay in my head and I can carry it on into the next day and the next day. And if I do something bad, I look at that and try to correct it and look at the good stuff so I can get that back going again. You know, baseball, you have a lot of muscle memories, and if you do all the good stuff right, then it just, your athleticism takes over when you're out there on the field.
You mentioned the Dodgers were good, like, as you had joined the team, you're coming up. 2008, Manny showed up.
Yeah, wow.
And was just out of his mind. And
Manny
everybody
Wood.
Went nuts.
They called it Mannywood.
The billboards were up. It was
everywhere.
Amazing.
That was something I'd never seen in my life. He literally just put all 24 guys on his back and just carried us into the playoffs.
What
was unbelievable.
Did you learn anything from him?
I learned a lot.
Like,
as
what?
A hitter, like, I learned a lot. I mean, the next year, or that year he came, we would be in the cage for long periods of time, and all he wanted to do was talk about hitting. So
yeah,
he was a guy that definitely, you know, helped me take my game to a whole nother level as far as hitting, because he was a genius at hitting.
He was. I am a Red Sox fan, and I felt like he was like a savant.
That's all he wanted to do, was live in the cage, hit.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
He was kind of put on earth to hit, it feels like.
Definitely put on earth
That's
to hit.
That's why I still feel like he could play. I don't care if he's 44 or out of shape. I still feel like he'd be able to hit.
For him, if he wasn't doing so well on the field, he could definitely help a team in other ways, as far as teaching guys how to hit. And,
oh, really?
And he's amazing. He's an amazing teacher. I don't think he understands how amazing he is as a teacher and what he's talking about when he's hitting, but when he hits, you can understand what he's talking about.
What was your favorite Manny being Manny story?
There's too many.
You must have had like 7 and 8 there's classics.
There's a lot. But Manny, I remember the first time Manny walked into our clubhouse, and he was like, what the hell is going on in here? It's quiet in here. This is like the first time he got traded. He brings his bags in. He's like, it's too damn quiet in here. Put on some music. Let's go. And because we, at the beginning, we couldn't have music in the locker room.
We didn't
like music. He didn't like music in the locker room. He just wanted kind of everybody to do their own thing and whatever. And Manny put on his iPod and turned on the music, and ever since then we've been able to have music. So that's kind of Manny being Manny. He kind of took over the team and kind of, you know, changed some rules up.
Do you ever see, like, his straight paychecks in his locker or anything? Like, all those stories you always hear about him? There's an uncashed paycheck for $280,000.
Manny has a lot of money, man. So
yeah.
But I'm sure those paychecks are direct deposit. I'm sure those aren't hard checks.
Who knows with that guy? Where did he live? Do you even know?
I don't know. I don't know where Manny lives.
I would have been fascinated. I always wondered where he lived in L.A.
I think he was on the beach. But Manny was just a normal guy that was just had a lot of money that just, I mean, he's just whatever.
Right.
He's just having fun playing baseball, the game he's been playing since he was a kid. So there's nothing really different from him.
Who is your favorite teammate that you've had?
That I've had?
Yeah.
Juan Pierre. That's my favorite team. It's just, he taught me so much. He's always been there for me. He's one of my, you know, my best friends. That's my big brother. And, you know, when times got hard for me, he was always there for me, and vice versa. And, you know, we've been through we've had some good times and some bad times. And until then, I mean, as of right now, we're still the best of friends and going strong.
Who is the guy on this year's Dodgers team who's kind of like the guy who keeps everyone loose, just kind of looks
That'd
out.
That'd probably be me. I love to talk.
Yeah.
I'm a talker. You know, I like to talk mess. I like to, you know, keep everybody loose and kind of remind everybody just to have fun, because there were times when I was on the field and I wasn't having too much fun and I wasn't that good of a player because I wasn't having fun. And, I mean, the main thing for me is, you know, me been playing baseball since I was a kid, I've always had fun and it's always been fun. So when it stops being fun, that's when probably you need to stop playing baseball. So I kind of remind people to always have fun.
And you were in a bunch of trade rumors for a stretch there.
I've been in a lot of trade rumors.
Yeah, you were always the guy that the Dodgers were always trying to trade to get somebody else for 3 years.
I would always be like, please don't trade me. I want to stay here.
Just, I like it in L.A.
I like it in L.A. I don't want to leave. Yeah, so, I mean, there were times in a couple years where I was in a bunch of trades and almost went through some trades that almost went down and other sides couldn't work out the deal. And, you know, I could have been with another team, but I'm glad we... were able to get past that, and now I'm here for another 7 years. So
one of my good friends is a huge Dodger fan. Mm-hmm. And was just absolutely enraged that you were in trade rumors. And he was like, what are they doing?
Well, I think in 2010, I think they were probably like, yeah, you need to trade him. Get him out of here. He's not doing
good. No, they did not want to trade you. And there was the Red Sox were kind of involved for a little bit.
I remember that.
And he was so upset that they were thinking of trading you that then I started rooting for the Red Sox to trade for you. I was like, this is a good sign. This guy watches him, and he knows. I was like, this would be great if we get Matt Kemp.
I mean,
then you started going for the Triple Crown. It's funny how that ends. The Triple Crown ends trade rumors.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, no, we're not going to trade this guy.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous. Yeah. So you signed for 7 years.
Yeah. Oh, eight.
Eight?
8 years.
Oh, this is year one.
This is year
one. Then you have seven after.
More years. Yeah, we're good.
So what's your plan for L.A.? Like, you stay where you are? You don't have to stay where you live, but you're good where you are.
Uh-huh.
No plans to, like, maybe move to the beach?
I mean, it just depends. The older I get, when I start having, I'm single, so I don't have a family and kids.
Right.
So as of right now, I'm a bachelor, and I'm gonna have a bachelor pad, and I'm gonna do, you know, those fun
bachelor things.
Yeah. So, so we're just having fun, man. But until then, I'm gonna stay in where I'm at and continue to have fun and play baseball.
How good is this Dodgers team?
It's really good. You know, as far as much as we've been hurt and as much as been going on as far as, you know, basically just injuries. You know, we've had a lot of guys that injured. It's been, I think everybody in our, that we started the opening day roster has been hurt in some sort. And we're just now getting guys back, and I'm coming back after the break. Mark Ellis just came back. Andre's coming back after the break. So we're gonna have that same team that started off, you know, the beginning of the season with that was, you know, going, winning all those games and doing some great things.
And not a great division either. You don't have to slam the other teams, but this is the kind of division you want to be able to struggle with injuries.
I mean, there's pitchers. There's a lot of pitchers
True.
In that league. So it's not as easy as everybody thinks. We're playing in some tough ballparks, you got to play against everybody. So, it evens out.
Are you mad that these young guys are kind of stealing your thunder? Because you were the hot story topic for like about
what young
couple,
guys?
Now everyone's moved off you. Now it's about Bryce Harper and Mike Trout.
You know,
nobody cares about you anymore.
I mean, Bryce Harper is amazing. You know, 19 years old doing what he's doing.
That's, yeah.
I mean, at 19, I was still in high A figuring out.
Yeah, explain to people how hard that would be to do that at age 19.
I mean, it's unheard of. I mean, for me, I mean, you talk about Griffey and guys that did that, but he's like probably one of the only guys that came up. I think Griffey came up at what, 18, 19?
Yeah, and he had at least had his dad there.
Yeah. I mean, he had guidance, but I mean, him doing what he's doing is amazing. And as far as I'm concerned, Mike Trout is probably the best player in American League right now.
Like, definitely.
I watch him. I've been watching him. I tell him, I told him that I was just messing with him. We were playing the Angels. I said, there's only one number 27 in Los Angeles. Yeah. And he kind of laughed at me. But that guy is amazing. Like, he's really made a name for himself, and he's exciting to watch.
If you had the talent to play in the majors in 19, would you have been able to handle all the other stuff?
I don't know. I was a little bit younger, and me, I was fresh in the game. Like, I was still had basketball on my mind at 19.
Right.
I was trying to figure out if I really wanted to play baseball. These guys, I think they've just been bred to just be baseball players. And I mean, we were hearing about, I think Bryce Harper came into our locker room when he was like 17 years old.
Right.
And you know, he's on a cover of Sports Illustrated, so he's been kind of used to it, and he's kind of used to the hype. That's like LeBron when he was coming up. He already knew about the media when he was, you know, 16 years old, and he was well spoken, and you know, he knew how to handle that at a young age because he had been doing it for so long. So
right.
I think that all that in the beginning, what they've been doing, you know, it kind of helped them get to the big leagues and kind of handle that pressure of.
It sounds like basketball's not out of your blood yet.
I feel
like you have a celebrity game in you.
I want to be.
There's one celebrity game in you.
I
want to
be a basketball player so bad. I wear hoop shorts and NBA socks and basketball shoes, and I feel like I'm a basketball player just playing baseball.
So you'll come play with us sometime, or you're not allowed? What's your contract say?
If we do play, you can't tell nobody.
Oh, okay. We could do that. We play all the time. We need an athletic two guard who has slashing skills.
There you go. I'm your man.
Can you rebound?
I can jump a little bit. I can get up.
This is the tragedy of professional athletes that they can't play other sports for obvious reasons because their guys don't want to get hurt. But like, I think Nash even has it in his contract that he can play soccer.
He does have it in his contract.
I think he does. Basketball's a little more dangerous because of the cutting and, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, soccer's not too easy of a sport.
At least it's on grass.
That's true, but, I mean, I've seen some craziness going on in soccer fields.
If I were the new Dodgers owners, I would not want you playing basketball.
Well,
now, what's interesting is Magic is one of the Dodgers owners now.
Yeah, he is. We're going to play some horse.
Do you know that Magic, this is a true story, Magic stopped playing basketball because he was so frustrated. He said this on my podcast. He was so frustrated, he would set up these pickup games, and he would. They'd be like, yeah, we'll play at 10. He would show up at like 9:30 and stretch, and then guys would start trickling in like 10:15, 10:30. Yeah. They were late for a pickup game with Magic Johnson.
I would be the first one. If the game started at 10 o'clock, I'd probably be there at 8:30 waiting for him
course,
to get there.
Of course, it's Magic Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking.
So he said he stopped playing because he was like, these young guys,
he still looks like he's in shape and he can do some things, but I don't think he can outshoot me. I tell him that all the time, so we're going to play a little game of horse when the season's over with.
So potentially for our YouTube channel that we have on greatway.com, we could have a horse game between you and Magic.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I'm picking Magic.
You can do what you want
to do. I haven't seen your game yet, but I just see Magic. Magic.
I got skills.
I'm going to go with the number four player of all time.
He's one of the best of all times, but I think I can outshoot him. I got faith in myself.
Do you have a specific horse shot?
No, I shoot from everywhere.
Do you have a money in the bank shot, though?
Shooters can shoot from everywhere.
Because one of mine is like the cross-legged, sit-on-the-ground foul shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I do that stuff.
That's,
you got to.
That's super non-athletic.
When you can't jump, you got to do all that stuff. You got to shoot over the backboard. You got to do all those things.
No.
It sounds like we need to play horse.
That would be an easy win, probably.
An easy win for me. Yeah. I think you're right.
Nah.
I think it would be a very easy win for me.
I just dunk every time. I'm sure you can't
dunk. No, we'd have a no-dunking rule. I could dunk if it was an 8-foot hoop. 8 foot.
You can't make rules.
You can't dunk in horse. Who dunks in horse?
It's horse.
Only people on your athletic ability dunk in horse.
You look like you jump just a little bit.
Nah, I'm really, really washed up. I have like three different injuries going right now. I have a hurt hand. I have somebody kneed me in the side. I have like a blood mass in my knee.
Oh, wow.
This is what you're going to know when you're the old guy in the Dodgers in about 18 years. Well, how old are you now?
How old am I? I'm 27.
So when you're...
I'm losing track
of how old I am. 15 years, you're 42-year-old, part-time outfielder, Dodger guy.
No, I'm not going to be part-time. When I'm part-time, I'm going to be done.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, you'll hang on.
No. I'm going to let the younger guys, you know, in front of me go.
Well, especially the last couple contracts you signed, you could probably be on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
That would be the move, in a bachelor beach house.
No, not bachelor. I'm trying to have like 5 kids running around.
All right.
Saying, Daddy, come on, let's go outside and play.
All right, we're going to organize this horse game with you and Magic.
Do that.
I know Magic Johnson.
No,
I don't mean a name drop, but actually, I could probably get this done.
You're name dropping. You got to bring your phone?
I could probably get this done. I don't have Magic's number. No, Magic has a guy. Oh, you have Magic's number?
Yeah.
Oh, that's better than me.
Yeah.
Well, you're the best guy in the Dodgers, and he owns the Dodgers.
Beat that.
Yeah. I have the guy who deals with Magic. I have his number.
Who's that?
Lon.
Yeah. I got his number too.
And then Lon sets
I've been at those numbers.
I have Magic as a letter and a half favorite.
Who's your most famous guy on your phone?
Most famous guy on my phone? I don't think I have a famous guy on my phone.
You don't?
Yeah. Or if I did, it would. I don't know.
Famous
I'd
person.
Have to look. Most famous person?
Now I'm doing the interviewing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Hopefully it's Matt Kemp. I'm going to get your phone number after.
I'm sure there's bigger.
Do you
fish
care
out
who
there.
Wins tomorrow's game?
Yes, I care a lot.
Do you guys really care, though?
Yeah, we care. I mean, as competitors, we go out there, and you don't want to look like a fool in front of millions and millions of people, so you're actually trying to go out there and, you know, put on a show for the fans. And,
it's televised.
And, yeah, but I mean,
watching.
I think a lot of people would love to win that MVP trophy that gets handed out after the game. So those guys are out there really trying to
put that in your bachelor pad. And
man, that would look lovely, right? When you walk in, like, oh, he's MVP.
Quick idea, and then I'm letting you go. I think these all-star starters should play the last 5 innings of the game. This is the problem with the all-star game. You got the starters come out.
Mm-hmm.
They play the first 4 innings, and then they get replaced by...
I played 7 last year.
People who are, or whatever, 5. Then they get replaced
6.
By people. It doesn't make
They're
sense.
All all-stars,
they should
though.
Play at the end.
They're all all-stars.
I want to see the best guys decide the game.
Everybody
Doesn't that make
is,
sense?
Everybody that gets picked is supposedly the best.
You don't like my idea?
No. I mean, it's the manager's idea who to take out the game. And you can leave the guy in if you want to. So you can ask him, do you want to stay in the game? Do you want to win this game?
But what if the starters came in the 5th inning?
No. that the fans would be mad. They want to see the whole game.
Would they, though? Yes. The guys are deciding the game.
Definitely. The fans pick the starters, so that's who they right. want to see to play the game.
But we'd call them the finishers. The fans would pick the finishers.
No.
You don't like this idea.
No, not at all.
All right, I'll go back to the drawing board with it.
Yeah.
Matt Kemp, good luck.
Thank you, man.
LA.
Appreciate it.
I'll see you around.
Thank you.
Good luck in the horse game with Magic.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Target the set off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.